Greetings and welcome to Word Magazine. This is Jeff Riddle, pastor of Christ Reformed Baptist Church in Louisa, Virginia. In this episode of Word Magazine, I'm going to be doing a read-through of an article that I have recently written and that has been published in the Trinitarian Bible Society's Quarterly Record, issue number 635, the April to June of 2021 issue, and it appears on pages 12 through 19. I'll be putting up a PDF of the article to my academia.edu page. And when I do a post on this on my blog at jeffriddle.net, I'll have the link to that and also a link to the entire issue of the Quarterly Record that is available for free online. The title of the article that I wrote is The Coherence-Based Genealogical Method, or CBGM, The Newest New Method. I was invited to write this article by the Trinitarian Bible Society. I'm going to read just the article itself. There's also an editorial director's introduction and there are end notes, but I'm just going to read the body of the article. I was asked to write this article, and I'm writing it obviously from a TR or confessional text position. I don't claim to be an expert per se in the CBGM. I'm certainly not a practitioner of it. So I'm certainly writing this article from the perspective of an outsider. But I hope that the descriptions that I give of the CBGM have been accurate. And I do think that this is an important innovation in the 21st century modern critical text that should be well noted by all persons, especially those who hold to the traditional text, because obviously it's shaping the modern critical text, and then it will shape translations that are based upon those. So let me go ahead and read through my article. The Coherence-Based Genealogical Method, CBGM, The Newest New Method. And it's prefaced by a quotation from Luke chapter 5, verse 39. No man also, having drunk old wine, straightway desireth new, for he saith, the old is better. A scholarly article introducing the coherence-based genealogical method, or CBGM, is titled, How Your Greek New Testament is Changing. Indeed, the emergence of the CBGM at the start of the 21st century promises to be as groundbreaking for modern text criticism as was Westcott and Hort's precursor to reasoned eclecticism in the 19th century. This stands in contrast to the received text position and a scripture kept pure in all ages. CBGM is the newest new method to be applied to the scholarly reconstruction of the text of the Greek New Testament. The old new method. Before describing the CBGM, we should note two distinctives of the old method. First, the old method focused on the grouping of manuscripts into text types. Four text types were identified: the Alexandrian, including the influential Sinaiticus and Vaticanus manuscripts, the Western, the Byzantine, and the Caesarean. Of these, the Alexandrian was assumed to be the oldest and most reliable, or neutral, text. On the other hand, the Byzantine manuscripts, which undergirded the traditional text, were considered late, inferior, secondary, and marred by harmonization. Second, the old method was based on the goal of reconstructing the original autographs. This reconstruction method was, in fact, a departure from the doctrine of the divine preservation of Scripture. This new goal was articulated by Marvin R. Vincent in 1899. Quote, textual criticism is that process by which it is sought to determine the original text of a document or of a collection of documents, and to exhibit it freed from all errors, corruptions, and variations, which it may have accumulated in the course of its transmission by successive copyings, end quote. This goal was pursued with confidence by scholars of the 19th century. Thus, as Westcott and Hort introduced their influential 1881 Greek text, quote, this edition is an attempt to present exactly the words of the New Testament so far as they can now be determined from surviving documents, end quote. It was this old new method with its text types and autographic reconstruction which attempted to undermine the credibility of the Texas Receptus, or TR, and then to topple it. Eldon J. Epp used military imagery to describe the scholarly assault on the TR. He considered Carl Lockman's Greek New Testament of 1831 a beachhead for a D-Day attack. If D-Day belonged to Lockman, then V-Day belonged to the undisputed general of the army, F.J.A. Hort, and his first officer, B.F. Westcott. The printed editions of the modern text. The old method also produced a series of printed scholarly editions of the Greek New Testament. Two major handbook editions have eventually come to predominate. First, there is the German Bible Society's Nessel-Alon Greek New Testament, known by its familiar blue cover, now in its 28th edition, the NA28 of 2012. Second, there is the United Bible Society's Greek New Testament, known by its familiar brick red cover, now in its 5th revised edition, the UBS 5 of 2014. These now serve as the standard scholarly texts of the Greek New Testament, the two editions having been brought into agreement under a common committee when the UBS 3rd edition of 1983 adopted the same text as the Nessel-Alon 26th edition of 1979. Most persons who study the Greek New Testament in universities, seminaries, and Bible colleges across the world use one or both of these editions. With the NA28/UBS5, significant changes were introduced, especially in the Catholic epistles, James to Jude. The title page of the NA28 text acknowledges that it has been produced under new editorial leadership. Quote, edited by the Institute for New Testament Textual Research, Münster, Westphalia, under the direction of Holger Struttwolf. In the foreword, Struttwolf states, quote, this new edition presents a fundamentally new conception, at least with respect to the Catholic letters, because for this part of the New Testament, the Editio Critica Major, ECM, is already available since 1997. The ECM represents a new level of scientific research on the texts of the Greek New Testament and offers a text newly established on this basis, end quote. The editors later continue, quote, the Catholic letters were revised according to a fundamentally new concept, which in the long run will be adopted for the entire edition, end quote. They then explain that this new concept is the coherence-based genealogical method, or CBGM, as developed by German scholar Gerd Mink. This method examines, quote, percentages of agreement between witnesses compared, end quote, in order, quote, to arrange the potential ancestors of a witness in a ranking order according to their degree of relationship, end quote, adding, quote, the method can also be applied to a comparison with the reconstructed initial text, end quote. The modern text is indeed changing. A new method is replacing the old method. It has been applied to the Catholic epistles, and it will eventually be applied to the rest of the New Testament. In the end, it will also make its way into modern translations based on this text. What is the CBGM? The CBGM is a new approach to textual criticism which makes use of computer technology to compare and analyze witnesses to readings, not just physical manuscripts containing those readings, from the Greek New Testament. In their introduction to the CBGM, Wasserman and Gurry defined the CBGM as, quote, a method that, one, uses a set of computer tools, two, based in a new way of relating manuscript text, that is, three, designed to help us understand the origin and history of the New Testament text, end quote. David C. Parker offers this brief explanation of the Münster method, quote, it is, in essence, very simple. It has as its foundation a full list of variants made by comparing complete transcriptions of witnesses. Where there are many manuscripts, as in the case of the New Testament works, these witnesses are scientifically selected by analyzing all known copies in a set of test passages. But where the size of the task is practicable, the inclusion of all witnesses is desirable. The editor studies each unit of variation and, where possible, produces a stemma showing how the readings develop from one another. This relationship is recorded in a database in which the relationship between the manuscripts is also recorded and calculated, in particular, which is the most likely ancestor of each manuscript. The editor can then ask the database to disclose how all the manuscripts relate to each other. The resulting diagram is described as the textual flow, end quote. Despite Parker's assurance that the method is, quote, in essence, very simple, end quote, it has thus far proven to be perplexing to many. Peter J. Gurry has observed, quote, one of the most common reactions to the method is neither acceptance nor rejection, but rather defeated resignation about ever understanding it, end quote. The CBGM is being applied to the Editio Critica Maior, ECM, a major scholarly revision of the modern critical Greek text being underwritten by the Union of the German Academies of Science and Humanities. The ECM of the Catholic Epistles was published in 1997, revised in 2013, and of Acts in 2017. The entire ECM is projected to be completed by the year 2030. What is new about the CBGM? There are at least two ways in which the CBGM represents a significant shift in method. First, the CBGM rejects traditional text types. The CBGM no longer attempts to reconstruct the text on the basis of categorizing manuscripts according to text types. Gurry notes, quote, this shift alone could be momentous for the discipline, end quote. David C. Parker observes, quote, there are so few manuscripts from the first seven centuries, so few survivors from the thousands that must have once existed, that they cannot be classified into groups, end quote. Interestingly enough, the only text type to which reference continues to be made in the CBGM is the Byzantine. Gurry notes that the CBGM has even resulted in, quote, a renewed appreciation for the so-called Byzantine text, end quote. The abandonment of the traditional text types has accompanied a reassessment of Westcott and Hort. Parker notes that they reach their conclusions, quote, with a totally inadequate amount of evidence, end quote, and even suggests that their textual theory does not deserve the reverence which it has been accorded. Interestingly enough, those who attempted to topple the TR in the 19th century have been toppled by the CBGM in the 21st century. Second, the CBGM does not seek to restore the autographic text, but the so-called initial text. The old method confidently asserted its goal to remove corruption and reconstruct the original autograph. By the mid-20th century, however, Robert Grant would describe this task as a veritable, quote, impossible possibility, end quote. Postmodern voices began to be raised against the very concept of an authoritative original text. David Parker observed, quote, generally, debate has centered on the meaning of a single authoritative text, but it will soon become plain that such a text does not exist today and never has existed, and that therefore the theological arguments built on such a text are castles in the air, end quote. The CBGM no longer articulates its goal to be the reconstruction of the original autographic text. Instead, its advocates speak of reconstructing the Ausgangs text, or initial text. Parker defines the initial text as, quote, the editor's reconstruction of the oldest knowable form, end quote, of the text. He adds that the initial text, quote, was never the text of an actual manuscript, end quote, and, quote, has to be regarded as an ideal rather than a real text, end quote. Some evangelicals have continued to insist that the initial text is at least a close approximation of the authorial text, but they too have largely abandoned the goal of restoring the autograph. How has the CBGM changed the modern text thus far? As noted, the CBGM has only been applied thus far to the Catholic epistles in the handbooks. The text has been altered there in at least 33 places. A list of these is provided on pages 50 to 51 in the Nessolon 28th edition. Two very significant changes appear at 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 10 and Jude 5. First, the closing words at 2 Peter 3:10 in the King James Version, a translation based on the traditional Greek text, say that that on the day of the Lord, the earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Previous editions of the modern critical text had challenged the verb shall be burned up, suggesting it should read will be exposed, as in the English Standard Version. The CBGM version of 2 Peter 3:10, however, adds a new twist in that it suggests that the Greek negative particle, ouk, should be inserted before the verb so that the passage would potentially read that the earth will not be exposed. What is more, this reading is not supported by any extant Greek witness, but it appears in only a few late Syriac and Coptic manuscripts. Thus, the CBGM of 2 Peter 3:10 introduces a conjectural emendation based on no extant Greek evidence. This insertion significantly alters the eschatological perspective of the verse. At the day of the Lord, did Peter say the earth would be burned up, or that it would not be exposed? This is a significant theological difference. Second, Jude 5 in the King James Version states, quote, that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not, end quote. The reader will notice that the title Lord, the Greek word kurios, is used in reference to God as the one who delivered Israel from Egypt. The new CBGM text, however, uses Jesus here rather than Lord. Jesus appears in Alexandrinus and Vaticanus, but Lord is supported by the vast majority of Greek manuscripts, and it is the reading of the TR. The abbreviated nomina sacra for the two words would have been very similar and easily confused by scribes. One might think it right to approve of Jesus here as reflecting a high Christology, but this usage would produce a theological difficulty since it would make reference to Jesus, the incarnate Son of God, at a time in history at the Exodus before the incarnation had yet occurred. The traditional text is, therefore, to be preferred. Evaluation of the CBGM. Here are six critiques of the CBGM. First, the CBGM's use of computer/digital technology does not eliminate human subjectivity in its application. The CBGM is not free from human subjectivity. Klaus Wachtel concedes that the data produced by CBGM must, in the end, be subjectively interpreted, and that, quote, other scholars starting from different premises will come to different conclusions, end quote. Peter Gurry likewise notes that, quote, the results provided by the CBGM, like all text-critical data, have to be weighed and interpreted by a human, end quote. Second, the CBGM is not exempt from the charge of circular reasoning. Scholars tend to reach outcomes based on their initial presuppositions, circular reasoning. Though the CBGM has ostensibly abandoned the traditional text types, the scholars using the method still appear to presuppose that the Alexandrian readings are generally superior and take this as their initial text. Third, the CBGM abandons any hope of ever recovering the original autograph. The CBGM claims only to recover the so-called initial text, and makes clear that this initial text must not necessarily be equated with the authorial text, that is, the autograph. Recovery of the autograph is seen as both untenable and undesirable. Bart Ehrman was among the first to suggest the need to move beyond the, quote, narrow concern for the autographs, end quote, and instead focus on the history of the transmission of the text, quote, a history that can serve as a window into the social world of early Christianity, end quote. Most modern text critics no longer speak of recovering the autograph, but of tracing the so-called reception history of a disputed passage. There is no concern to establish a standard and stable text to serve as a firm basis for confessional Christianity. Fourth, the CBGM does not make use of patristic or virginal evidence. The CBGM does not generally incorporate into its textual flow diagrams evidence from patristic writings, the Church Fathers, or early translations like Old Latin, Syriac, etc. In some cases, however, this data may be crucial. The traditional text of Mark 16:9-20, for example, is cited by Justin Martyr and Irenaeus of Lyon in the 2nd century. To exclude this evidence weakens a strong argument in favor of Mark's ending. Fifth, the CBGM allows for conjectural emendation, the incorporation of readings supported by no extant Greek manuscripts. We have noted the conjectural emendation at 2 Peter 3:10. What will be the result when the CBGM is applied to the entire New Testament? How many more conjectures will be made? What doctrines will be affected? Sixth, the CBGM is being used by only a very small number of scholars, primarily in one German academic institute. It has been observed that modern text criticism has attempted to take the text of the Bible out of the hands of the church and to place it into the hands of the academy. Now it appears that the modern text has been taken out of the hands of the larger academy and placed into the hands of an even smaller circle in Münster. What's on the horizon? The CBGM's influence has only just begun. Holger Struttwolf has apparently suggested that the Nestle-Aland 29th edition will appear in the year 2022, with the UBS 6th corrected edition to follow soon after. The new edition will expand the CBGM application to Acts and at least one other book, probably the Gospel of Mark. The CBGM hopes to be applied to the entire New Testament by the 2030s. CBGM, the end of modern text criticism? The CBGM's emergence as the newest new method has been both consequential and controversial. When the Editio Critica Maior process is complete and the CBGM has been applied to the entire Greek New Testament, will this be the end of modern textual criticism? Absolutely not. We can be sure that an even newer new method will eventually arise. The proponents of modern textual criticism now declare that the goal of ever reconstructing a definitive autograph is only a chimera, a thing hoped or wished for, but which always remains illusory or impossible to achieve. Many evangelicals have surrendered assurance of ever knowing with full confidence what the text of the Word of God is. Daniel B. Wallace has written, quote, "We do not have now in our critical Greek texts or any translations exactly what the authors of the New Testament wrote. Even if we did, we would not know it." End quote. Such a perspective completely undermines the epistemological foundations of the Christian faith. If we do not know what the Bible is, we cannot know what the Bible says. There is an alternative to the CBGM and to the ever-changing methods and texts of modern criticism. It is to hold fast to the received text, faithfully preserved by God and kept pure in all ages. As the new methods rise and fall, we can look to an old text that is solid, stable, and unchanging. The old is indeed better. Here ends the article. I hope that this has been helpful and encouraging to listen to this reading of the article. And I will look forward to speaking to you in the next Word Magazine. Till then, take care and God bless.